This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. 250 years ago, the first major Spanish land expedition journeyed across what is now called California. This journey was led by Gaspar de Portola, and he became the original governor of the Californias. Father Junipero Serra joined the trek, and the group established the cities of San Diego and Monterey. They became the first Europeans to see San Francisco Bay. Along the way, they established Spanish outposts and scouted the most fertile land on which to build missions. At those missions, of course, tens of thousands of indigenous people were enslaved. A few years ago, writer Nick Neely set out to follow Portola's route, to walk from San Diego through Los Angeles and up the coast to the San Francisco Bay. He wrote about his journey in a new book. It's called Alta California, From San Diego to San Francisco, A Journey on Foot to Rediscover the Golden State. Nick Neely, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Why did you want to do this, follow this Portola expedition?
You know, I had always wanted to take a big trek, something like following the Pacific Crest Trail, which is quite famous at this point. Mm-hmm. And so when I learned of the expedition, or relearned of it, really, I thought, what a great opportunity to do something that was markedly different, that would take me through suburban, urban, wild, agricultural areas, and really be an opportunity to entwine natural history, which is my main niche as a writer, with human history and sort of expand my capabilities and provide something new.
What did you know about Portola before you started this?
You know, very little. I actually grew up in Portola Valley, which is adjacent to Palo Alto in the Bay Area. And so that was another part of my motivation for this trip. I had grown up there, but I knew nothing about him, and I really knew nothing about the expedition. I'd always assumed they had come over the Santa Cruz Mountains and seen the San Francisco Bay in my town. Turns out that was not true. They had come over those mountains far to the north near to San Francisco. So this was also a chance to sort of learn the history I probably should have learned in grade school, or at least a little bit later.
And so these guys, these Spaniards, what were they trying to do when they were walking up the California coast?
They were on a mission to find the port of Monterey, which had been, or Monterey at that time, named after a former viceroy of New Spain. And it had been described glowingly by the explorer Vizcaino, who found it by sea. And he said it was an ideal port. And so they wanted to find this port so they could establish a place for ships returning from the Philippines with trade items to stop over. And they were also concerned about alleged Russians trickling down the coast and establishing outposts. So they wanted to claim the territory, and they also, of course, wanted to convert the native populations to Catholicism.
Right. How did you trace their journey? Because it wasn't really mapped out completely. It was really through a journal accounts where their journey was described. It wasn't on a physical map, right?
Yeah. Well, there are three journals that were kept on the expedition, the most comprehensive or thorough by the Franciscan Padre, one of them that was along with the expedition, Juan Crespi. And historians have used those journals to sort of triangulate where they camped day by day. They really needed water, and they needed, you know, grasses for the horses. They had over 50 mules and as many horses that they rode. So we know roughly where they camped night by night, either, you know, a lake, a river. Historians have, even in downtown Los Angeles, pointed to intersections where their probable camp was. And so I relied on those points and then sort of took the best line from point to point. We can't know the exact line in many cases that they walked, but I was going down the right valleys.
So, yeah, so one of the points, as you say, in Los Angeles was like around the Elysian Valley, like kind of near where Dodger Stadium is.
Right. Yeah, they walked west from the Whittier Narrows, where there's now a giant dam, and came to the Los Angeles River, which they gave name to. In the diaries, Juan Crespi, the padre, calls it Nuestra Señora de Los Angeles de la Porcióncula, named after the little church that St. Francis in Italy was given and repaired. Hmm. And, of course, shortened to Los Angeles, that was quite a doozy of a name. But they, yeah, when he arrived at the Los Angeles River, he described it as looking like an endless field of corn. It was so lush.
So how did you, as someone who likes to be in nature and write about nature, how did you negotiate trying to follow this path and a path that went through some really urban areas from San Diego on up?
You know, it was a real adventure and a refreshing break from hiking in the woods. It was sweltering, of course, at that time of year. I went through Los Angeles in August. In many places in Southern California, I crashed night by night in dry creek beds that's sort of in the interstices of suburbia. In downtown Los Angeles, I stayed in a hostel and I also stayed one night in a hotel. Overall, I camped maybe like 5 out of 7 nights on average. So I was careful. I didn't really want to be hassled by others, but I was probably more careful than I needed to be. And no one ever gave me a hard time.
Hmm. In fact, quite the opposite. You talk about meeting people who really helped you. People, even people you thought at first were really scary, like a, I guess a former gang member or a...
Yeah, everyone was really generous to me. And back to the Bertolo expedition, you know, they never would have made it even close to as far as they did to the San Francisco Bay if not for the unwavering generosity of the tribes and villages that they encountered along the way, who were always giving them food night by night.
And then ultimately, that was kind of the seeds of their own destruction, in a sense, that they were planting.
Yeah, it's true. You know, that was first encounter, and shortly thereafter, the missions would begin to indoctrinate or enslave them, which, you know, I think in many cases it was slavery. And yeah, and then, of course, disease is really what diminished the population extraordinarily.
Yeah. And you discovered that a lot of California, you know, a lot of the part that you wanted to go through is controlled by the U.S. military or it's private mm-hmm. patrolled land like Hollister Ranch.
Right.
And the Hollister Ranch is in the news now because Governor Newsom signed a bill that would open up the beach access to people.
Right. Yeah. I just heard about that.
Yeah. But it's a private place, uh-huh. which is, so describe Hollister Ranch and how you were able to get through it.
Well, I knew that it would be an impasse for me. I reached out to Hollister and also Coho Alama, which is Coho Alama is adjacent. Both of these are at Point Conception, and that's considered where Southern California turns to Northern. And I reached out to both Hollister and Coho Alama, and they did not give me permission to cross. And so I had invested at that point, you know, 6 weeks of walking. And so I decided I really couldn't detour around this momentous and sort of mythical point, and I decided to walk the train tracks in the middle of the night, which is one of my biggest adventures. I went 20 miles in the dark from 8:30 to 3 in the morning.
Because you didn't want to get caught by the security guards or something?
Yeah, they have private security, and I didn't trespass lightly, you know, and I don't really encourage trespassing in general, but I felt that this project was important and would provide, you know, something important to the public and kind of show them a transect and a landscape that they wouldn't otherwise be able to access. So I took the liberty.
And you weren't caught?
I wasn't caught. I trespassed a number of times, and I was pretty swift and careful.
But you were caught further up north.
Yeah, I accidentally wandered into a snowy plover enclosure. And actually it's quite funny because walking down that beach I was speaking into my recorder, which is the way I was taking notes for the most part on this journey, and I was just going on about the birds and describing terns flying over the water and really in a kind of revelry. And then I got pulled over more or less down the beach. So there was a little bit of an irony there. I had walked into an enclosure. The book, I think, is really an advocate for wildlife. They're actually, I name over 70 species of birds along the way. It's kind of a natural history survey of the coast.
Were you surprised at how much natural wildlife and natural life there was in the really urbanized parts of California?
I was. You know, there's growth, there's fecundity everywhere in the crevices of our sidewalks. And, you know, one moment that I remember very vividly, I was camped on a knoll at a place called Tomato Springs or Portola Springs, which is in Irvine. And it's all around it. It's being developed currently. And I was looking out over Irvine and, you know, endless rows of townhouses that had been built behind me were graded fields that would become townhouses. And out of the sagebrush popped a California gnatcatcher, which is a threatened species, flicking its tail right there on the edge of so much density. And it was just a good reminder that, you know, animals come up to our edges and even into our neighborhoods. And that same night, I heard a whole pack of coyotes that were calling to coyotes within the neighborhood. So yes, constantly, there's so much wildlife that I encountered. I even at one point heard a mountain lion not far from where I was sleeping. I wasn't entirely sure it was a mountain lion at the time. I thought it may well be, and then the next day I looked it up online and confirmed it. But yeah, I was startled. I was in a sleeping bag. I wasn't in a tent, and I just sort of like bolted upright somehow from lying flat to on my knees.
How close was it?
I think it was 30 or 40 feet. It did a call like, Zoe.
That's what it sounds like?
Yeah, that's one of their calls. They make a number of different calls.
And so as you're going up further north, you pass hundreds of roadside crosses and you walk through mission cemeteries.
Yeah.
And what did that say to you? What did you learn about our history?
I think the trip was really a comment, you know, it really opened my eyes to how violence and kind of devastation and wonder and regrowth coexist side by side. And there was, you know, it was a kind of melancholic trip often to see how the landscape had been changed and to know how people had been displaced and were still being displaced here and there in gentrifying areas. And at the same time, there's just, you know, you can't walk up California and not just be consistently awed by the landscape that is California.
Right. I mean, you could never see what you saw in a car.
No. And I actually felt like I was walking became too fast a pace for me. And then I wasn't absorbing the landscape to the depth I truly wanted. I did the best that I could. But yeah, in a car, you do feel when you're driving on a highway, like you're taking it all in. And then as soon as you're walking, you realize, you know, you're just scratching the surface when you drive.
And throughout your trip, you had an escort of sorts, these hummingbirds.
Yeah, they became a kind of mascot for me. I like the word escort. That's a good way of putting it. But yeah, they're everywhere. They love our flowers. They love our eucalyptus trees, which they're one of the few birds that really have benefited from eucalyptus. And so they are now, you know, with us year round, and I saw them almost at every turn. They sing from the tops of trees in our Safeway parking lots, and I saw hundreds.
And they're with you all the way to the end when you end up in Palo Alto.
Yeah, I just have such a fondness for them that I tried to bring them into the book.
I have them in my backyard, so I know they're beautiful.
They're amazing.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Madeline.
That's Nick Neely. He's author of the new book, Alta, California, From San Diego to San Francisco, A Journey on Foot to Rediscover the Golden State. Coming up, Apple TV Plus, HBO Max. There are so many more streaming options now. We're going to try to sort it all out for you next on Press Play.